Well, you know, producer Tom Danheiser and myself, we were in the Burbank Parade this weekend. We've got a picture of it up there on our Digicam at coasttocoastam.com if you want to go take a look. We were in this souped-up old Chevelle that the guy had paid like $20,000 for, but double that to maintain it and fix it and everything else. But what a souped-up car that was. And I think about 30,000 people showed up lining Olive Street down in downtown Burbank, California, as people cheered Tom. They thought he was Tom Likas, the other radio guy, which was kind of funny. But go take a picture of that. Go take a look at it. And we will be back in a moment more with Dr. Joseph Gallenberger and your phone calls as we talk about using psychic energy to change your reality. And we're back with Dr. Joseph Gallenberger. Joseph, we're human beings, which means we're subject to all those things that happen in our lives, good times, bad times. It's going to happen.
Yes.
We cannot prevent that with regardless of how we meditate and what we do. Does this just minimize it? Will it at least do that for us?
Yes, I think it has good potential to increase the flow of good times and even better times than you can imagine. But it's useful, I think, even in our journeys as human beings, sometimes to have the yin with the yang, the other side of things too. So it involves then approaching those in a more soulful, open way and using them more constructively. But sure, things are going to happen that you would not have chosen, that's for sure.
Even what things have happened that even blew you away with some of these results?
In terms of
everything you've seen and witnessed so far.
Well, again, the personal healings in people, I really get excited about that. It was delightful to go to Paris the way we did and have that fun in the casinos. Just bringing in positive energy, to see the crews respond. Sometimes they get into tears saying, we love when you bring groups in. It's the best part of our month because you guys are so positive. And most people, you know, given a little bit of a start like that, to see people bloom and blossom into loving each other, caring for each other, even if they were strangers just a short while ago, it gives me great faith in humanity that we can pull this together and have things happen of great power if we get our thoughts together coherently as a group of well-intentioned people. I was out in Vegas at the time when Siegfried and Roy got injured.
Sure. Horrible story.
And we meditated. And when we did, it felt like we joined with millions of people around the world sending blessings for recovery and gratitude for the beautiful shows they had seen there. So you can join some very formidable positive forces even just with your intention instead of when you meditate alone or pray alone. Part of what you do is have that intention to link up with other people of goodwill, and you'll see things get even more powerful.
Okay, let us go back to the calls. William driving in Texas. Thanks for holding, William. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you all doing tonight?
Good, William.
Doing
hey,
well.
Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I want to say I missed the show in Dallas. I don't know what happened to it, but it suddenly vanished. I'd like to have it back.
We're working on that. They had a station ownership change.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
Well,
Well, I'm coming back from West Texas, and luckily I picked up your radio station. And listen, fantastic interview tonight. Sorry, got stuttering there.
That's all right.
Thank you very much.
Earlier, yes, sir. Earlier, I mean, when I was younger, I'm 48 right now. When I was younger, I used to be able to manifest things into reality like nothing flat. I started meditating when I was the age of 7 years old. I've been in martial arts a lifetime. That is actually my field of interest and as a career as well. But my question is that as I mean, recently, probably within the past 5 years, something happened. And in the words of Austin Powers, I think I lost my mojo. Okay. And I don't know what happened. I mean, it's changed, and what used to be that I could manifest things into reality and turn things into gold doesn't happen anymore. And I'm wondering why, and if there's something that maybe you can do to change that. I'm not sure.
Okay. It's a good question. I think some other callers tonight have referred to, you know, that a lot of times when we've been in the trust of child, you know, like Jesus saying, let the children come to me, we've done better than when we got to be adults. I don't know. I would scan for things like anything that might be draining energy, a difficult relationship, pressures, responsibilities. I know when I had my first daughter, it was tough. All of a sudden, I'm responsible for some other human being. Now I have three girls, and they've just finished college, and it looks like all three might get married this year. You know, responsibilities mount, busyness mounts. Sometimes we just lose. And when what my feeling is, when our energy is very high, we manifest things, things go positive and it can get lower and lower while we watch news on TV, other things bringing us down. At a certain point, when we get down far enough, then we get subject to fear, anxiety, the cultural norms, and we start losing. The meditating you do through martial arts and things should help counter that. But I would just take inventory if there's anything that's a drag at this time. This can help reset everything, you know, particularly the Home Studies in Creation course, because it's very extensive on resetting energy and getting yourself going again. So I had a business partner who was an entrepreneur, very successful, lots of companies, with a very generous attitude, and he hit a block. He just stopped happening. He lost his mojo, if you will, and using the course, he was able to regain it and started many new companies since then, was a big advocate of mine, worked with me on my website, which I didn't know much about, and got going again. So even though it's not happening now, doesn't mean it won't return.
Okay, back to the calls we go. We'll go to John in Aurora, Colorado, first-time caller. John, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, a long-time listener, too. I remember Art Bell when it was hard to get. Anyway, I can attest to what he's saying. Back in the 70s, one time I was going to the dog track in Tampa Bay, Florida. And I had $7 in my pocket. One to get in and $6 to bet. And I just walked in. I didn't even buy a book. I just started walking around, and numbers started coming into my head. And I got there in the sixth race, and I won every race until the 12th race. And by the time I was in the 12th race, I was shaking like a leaf. I had never, ever won anything like that. Walked out of there with about $800.
That's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And yeah,
things
like,
go well.
Like the guy said just a few minutes ago, I lost my mojo.
Yeah.
Haven't been able to do that again.
I like that. Why is it when you go into a casino, Joe, that if you go in thinking you need to win, you really never do?
Well, like attracts like, and so if you're feeling lack, and you know, you'll usually attract lack, and so we do a lot to get rid of those feelings, because you need to go like you were celebrating at a feast table, very grateful for everything in your life. Think of everything you're already abundant in, the abundance of pets in your life, friends, the beauty of nature. Get yourself really up and walk in feeling like you're already abundant, and whatever happens at the table is just the cherry on top of the sundae. That's the attitude.
How does this work in trying to find a relationship or a new career?
It does work in similar ways, having to clear up the past, say difficulties with relationship, if we use that example, and then beginning to visualize what you would like with great trust that it'll come.
We go now west, Rolly in Smartsville, California, west of the Rockies. Hello, Rolly.
How you doing there, George?
Good, sir. Thank you.
Long-time listener and Pleasure to hear you guys again, and I've been listening since our bell way back. I had a story to tell you. It happened back in the early 80s. I took one of those over 24-hour bus rides up to Vegas from Ventura County. And upon arriving on the bus trip, as I exited the bus, there was a gentleman at the front door of the casino. He was dressed like he just got out of a beauty salon, not a hair out of place in a tuxedo. And as I approached to go in the door, gentleman tried to bum a drink from me in a comical way, so I didn't tell him to leave. I just kind of listened to him and continued to walk into the casino. And as I walked into the casino, I approached one of them slots and set a king's fortune on top and put a couple of bucks and continued to walk and talk to the guy as I walked. He amused me, so I didn't tell him to split. So I get down to the, I play the keno game, and I'm sitting down, and he goes, "Hey, brother, if you win, will you buy me a drink?" I looked at him, and I smiled, and I said, "Sure." So he pointed the numbers out, and I sat there, and I put a couple more, walked up, paid the bet. On the way back to the seat, I looked at the board, and I'll be damned if all the numbers didn't pop up. So I walk over there, and I sit down, and I look at him, and he smiles at me, and I he goes, "We won, didn't we, brother?" And I look at him, and I go, "No, I won." And so I reached in my pocket, and I threw him a 20. I go, "Meet me at the bar," because I knew he wanted a drink. So I went up there, and I collected my money. I think it was about $1,500 back then.
Wow.
And I said to myself, "Well, I'm not leaving a penny. I'm going to catch me a plane right back to Ventura." And I walked over to the phone booth, and I'm calling my wife. And I go, "Terry, you wouldn't believe what just happened." So as I'm on a conversation with her, I turn around, and this guy's at the end of the hallway. And he's going to me in a loud voice, and in Spanish, he's yelling, "Sabes por qué ganaste?" He goes, "You know why you won? Come with me now, brother. I'm the devil.
Wow.
Come with me now." And I looked at him, and I go, "Oh, my God." And I said, I turned around, and I said, "If you don't leave now, I'm calling security on you right now."
Whoa, did he turn just like that, huh?
Just like that. And I turned as I said that, and I turned back to tell my wife on the phone. I turned around, and he was gone. And I caught me a plane back, and I took my money.
Well, Joe, he was with the devil, so it does work on the evil way.
I don't know. That's an interesting story, though, that's for sure.
I'm glad, though, that you manifest yourself on positive things. That's the important. And I assume you surround yourself with those kinds of people, don't you?
Yeah, I'm very blessed with friends around the world that really have made good progress in opening their hearts and being positive and compassionate to others. And that's a great blessing in my life to have that type of energy around.
How does this kind of training change? How does it evolve, or does it? Does it stay the same?
There's plenty of room to grow, if you will. I have a one CD out called Manifesting with HemiSync that can give you a taste of binaural beat and HemiSync, as well as a little taste of this kind of manifestation. It's $20 kind of thing. If you go more extensive into the sync creation course, then again, learning gets deeper. What we find is usually, say you want to manifest certain things, you do that, and then after a while you want to go even further into your ability to affect the world positively. So it's okay to start wherever you do. You know, some people start with, "I want a Mercedes Benz." Fine. You know, for most people, after they have two or three, that'll be boring, and they'll say, "What else can I do?" And eventually they'll get to, "I'd like to help people." So you can start wherever you are on the path, and usually it just gets more and more confidence built, more and more power going, and more good is happening, and it's a good feedback loop, and you continue to progress that way.
Well, and I was going to say, it's not all about buying things, is it?
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Next up, let's go to Eric in Boise, Idaho. Welcome to the show. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, that was really great. I agree with that completely. I mean, you might get into that kind of thing for the wrong reason, but eventually it turns into helping people. And yeah, I'd use the creative energy to play roulette and walk out $400 or $500 a couple of times. But that's not really my question. My question is, what do you think of the world events as far as the culmination of everything? Do you think everything's coming to a head and truth is being separated from deception with the world economy, the state of war everywhere, with the environment? I mean, just if you look in the last couple of years, just everything, you know, there's a lot of unstable vibrations. Do you think that eventually we're kind of shaking off the crap and people are going to wake up and then, you know, these, well.
Yeah, I'm very positive. I agree that there's a lot of energy for change now. Things are polarizing. With the internet and other things, it's much harder to keep secrets. A lot of people keeping secrets are being busted, if you will, and things are coming to light. When I think of having grandchildren and my grandchildren, I feel very positive that they'll live in a better world than we have right now, and that we'll get there.
Won't be easy, but we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there, but kicking and screaming for some, and but I think we're already seeing change that was inconceivable 50 years ago, and 50 years is nothing in the evolutionary time frame.
Let's go to Dave in Overland Park, Kansas, Wildcard Line. Hi, David, go ahead.
Just real good, thanks. I'm a longtime listener. Normally, I find great interest in your UFO and conspiracy shows, but this one really hits home. Over the years, I seem to have had the ability to know who was going to call me before the phone ever rang and pretty much know what they were going to talk about. I've had back years ago, I walked out of a theater with my wife and turned to her and said, my daughter's been in a car wreck. About 3 or 4 minutes later, they called and said she'd been in a car wreck. I've got an ability to do a lot of those things. My wife keeps saying, why don't you do the lottery? And I just don't ever feel like I can do the lottery. But the another thing, a trait, I can walk into a room and I can settle very disruptive people. I've got unconditional love that I've had for 25, 30 years, I think plays a big part of everything. One of the other things I just might point out is that I went to Vegas one time, and we didn't go out to gamble. We just were meeting some relatives out there, and we're just going to see the sights. But every time we went to eat someplace, I would go over and get on a slot and play while they were in line, and I would always get enough money to pay for all of our meals. And just not losing and taking just, a dollar and going over and coming back with $80, $100, sometimes $150 in just 5-10 minutes. And that was it. So, the reason for my call, there's two things. I was looking at the website. What would I learn at your Tulsa April 20th from Miss Evans? And can you define manifestation? I think I really need to hear your definition of it.
Okay, I look at manifestation the way I'm talking about it is not a supplication, but really a co-creation with the highest of life forces, the more powerful ones that push a blade of grass through pavement, and you enter into a communion and a co-creation with incarnation and bringing something into incarnation, whatever that might be. That I know is your second question. I'd like you to repeat the first one again. I didn't quite understand.
What would I learn? You've got a seminar in Tulsa by going to be put on by Miss Evans.
I don't have a seminar in Tulsa that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay. Well, I was looking at something then.
I tell you what we'll do, though. We'll talk about what you do learn when you do some of these courses when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, adventurer Robert Young Pelton joins us talking about what in the world is going on these days. And when we come back in a moment, we're going to take final phone calls as we talk about your psychic energy right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. So, Joseph, what do people learn when they go through these programs?
Often the learning is around becoming more comfortable with their own power and being more aware of their own goodness and the ability they have to impact themselves positively and others positively, I think. They're often thrilled at before that, you know, when we interview people at the beginning of the program, we'll say things, and the first thing they say is, I'm afraid I won't be able to bend my spoon, for example. right underneath that is, I'm afraid I will be able to bend it. Because when you do that, it changes your belief systems, your paradigms, changes your sense of responsibility for your own life, to see that you may have more power than you thought you did. So people come away usually delighted with finding that after a little bit of leeriness about it.
Well, that is true. Is this a little like Silva mind control, or is that different?
I've seen quite a few people who've gone through Silva. I've never taken it personally myself. I know that they do some similar things in that program in terms of getting people to be able to focus their energy. But I don't know enough about it to comment much more than that.
Okay, to the phones we go. It's Paul in Denver, Colorado. Hey, Paul, go ahead.
Hey, George. I work weird hours, and sometimes my wife is still awake when I leave for work. And on our door, it's got like that security latch from the inside, the post, and then it's got that bar that folds over the top. Well, I forgot my badge at home for work, and she had slid the security latch. And I opened the door, and the latch caught. And I'm like, well, I can't wake my wife up and wake the kid up. So I was thinking, just concentrating on the latch moving over. And I wiggled the door, and I got in. And I was like, no way, that's got to be a once-in-a-million coincidence. But I can do it every day when I get home from work now. My kid sits on the couch and he waits. And I open the door and I concentrate on the latch moving, and I can get in, and my boy thinks I have superhero powers.
That's a wonderful example of using psychokinesis very practically.
where can I go from here with that, though? I mean, if I can do that, is there potential for more?
Oh, much more. It should be. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, George, how I can get tickets to your TV show in Boulder when you film it as well.
I tell you what, go to our website, and there's information there. And Tom is responsible for that, so there's a waiting list now, but I'm sure we'll get you out there.
All right.
Okay?
Good. Thanks, George.
All right, sure thing.
George, before we take another call, can I correct something that at 4 a.m. my time I meant to say and didn't?
Sure.
When you said, where can you get the book, I also want to mention that you can order the book right from the Monroe Institute, as well as the other products we've mentioned. And the Institute is a terrific organization, and would love your business. And they have a very extensive and interesting website. So that's another place that people could go for that.
Yeah, they're good people.
Yes.
Next up, we go to Chris, Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, my name's but thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
My father and I used to play backgammon when I was in high school, and I would just kill him because I could always get the double sixes when I needed and things like that. And then later in my life, playing games with my friends, particularly a board game that uses dice, I would just kill him. And I had a friend who really believed in my luck, so to speak, and he made me feel guilty about it, and he would have incredible luck, and then I would have really bad luck. And with something else, I've always been lucky. My mom has been lucky. My grandmother, we can actually see it in our family tree where the past is gone. But when I get really lucky, if I'm mad and really focused, I get more lucky. I just want to know if that's the same thing he's talking about or if this is something different.
That's very similar to what we're talking about. A lot of people who get attracted to the psychokinesis will report things, particularly backgammon, getting the sixes, so you get an extra turn. I think that's also true maybe in Monopoly or some other games. And that goes back to other callers talking about when we're children, often we can do this more easily. And so rolling dice in patterns is a good sign that you have some good native psychokinetic ability that you could build on. And if other people kind of make you feel guilty or something, that might affect it. But it's kind of neat that you can buckle in and try even harder, if you will, and keep your focus and still be successful. That's a good sign of strength in that.
As more and more people begin to evolve and use these kind of techniques for themselves, for their everyday living, I assume it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, Joseph, isn't it?
I agree. We see a huge change even in what we can do. Some people believe in the morphogenic wave idea. But when we started bending metal, say, in our first MC squared groups 12 years ago, people were very proud to get a slight bend in half of the group being able to do it. Now, just about everybody can do it, and with much heavier silverware, et cetera. In the healing circles, people used to be in the middle for a minute and say, that's enough, thank you. And now, after as long as they're in there, they still want to stay bathing in that beautiful energy. So both the capacity to receive this kind of powerful energy, to send it, I think is building on an exponential rate in many people. And people of all different kinds of traditions, shamanism, other things, are kind of approaching this from different ways, but basically doing the same thing. And people of goodwill are really a substantive force in our lives.
All right, let's go now to Mickey in Rochester, Washington, west of the Rockies. Hi, Mickey.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, Mickey.
Doing well.
Okay, like one of your previous callers had said, I was someone that seemed like I could focus my positive energy and get a lot of things that, you know, to kind of go my way. I mean, I used it through prayer when I was younger, but I think that's kind of on the same level when you know, you're focusing your positive energy on something and, you know, something goes in your favor. But lately, you know, and even the last few years, it seems like I haven't been able to get anything to go my way. And I've kind of looked at it as maybe you only get so many before it runs out type of thing. But, it seems like I've had a lot of negativity, a lot of stress in my life lately. And I've been trying to kind of train myself to live in the moment. So when something bad happens, just let it go, because that moment's over. Just, you know, focus on the next moment.
Exactly.
Ahead.
That's the only way you can beat this, Joseph.
That's good. And also to look at your beliefs. I, many years ago, was going through a divorce and everything in my house broke, the appliances and all. And then I realized I was thinking in a high energy state, broken home. And I changed my thought to building a new life, and half of the things repaired themselves and the breakage stopped. So if you've had good positive experience in the past, it means you have the power, if you will. Now this stress and stuff has gotten to you, and it's kind of coming out of a negative direction. But you can turn that around.
You have to. And you talk about manifestation, Joseph. I want you to listen to this. When I was visited by a Dr. Morgus, who thought that he had the power, PK.
Wild card line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi.
What door? Is that door there?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, George.
Morgus.
George Morgus in New Orleans.
How are you?
Oh, George, am I glad to get to you. Our telephones were all down through the hurricane, and of course we've got it all fixed up now, and I'm really, really moving along with this lab now, George.
Oh, so thank God. You know, we talked to you briefly after Katrina, but your phone went out, and we didn't know what happened to you. So you're okay, and your family's okay?
Oh, George, listen, everybody, Chopsley's right here, Dr. Chopsley's here, and Eric, everybody's in good shape here. You know, George, we did evacuate over there, because I'll tell you why. The city, you know, had a mandatory evacuation, but there's no way I would ever leave this lab, George. You know what's in here.
What is there?
Oh, you know, George, come on, you know, some secret stuff we talked about. And granted, you know, everybody would like to get in here. This is why we've got to stay here and protect it. I tell you, no, and besides, I'm probably the only building in New Orleans that had electricity and utilities 24/7, you know.
Well, I'm glad they're rebuilding. I'm glad you're rebuilding. And now you were in the city ice house, right? What happened to that?
Well, which one, George? What was that?
Weren't you in the ice house?
Well, absolutely. You know, this been here about 200 years. It was an old tanning factory. It used to have alligator skins and muskrats, you know. But back in the late 1800s, it became one of the first ice houses in the South. And, of course, we got a hold of it in the 50s here. You were in Detroit at that time.
Yes. And then, watching you on television.
That's right, sir. That, oh, listen, this was fantastic. Imagine us on 15 and getting together. But, George, listen, I've got something. I'm so glad I called you is. You don't know it, but I need that audience of yours to know what we're doing here in New Orleans. George, I've come up with something. You know, I've been working with, you know, all kind of microbiology. I've been working with all of the molecular designs for new inventions. And now I've got something, George, that's just going to break your heart. We have right here in the lab, George, I was working with subatomic particles. And get this, George.
What did you uncover?
Uncover, listen. I have moved solid molecules across this building. George, I have moved myself with solid molecules through this machine. Chopley, get away from the machine. I have moved myself out of this room where I am now into a room down the hallway. Electronically, George.
You tell
them. I just wanted your people there to know that I could do this. Chopley, get away from the not yet. Boy, all right, Chopley. Let's do it for George here. Don't press that button. Press the other button. Press it. Go ahead. That's it.
What's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. I'm in your studio, George.
I'm in your studio, George.
The real Morgus is here. Get over here.
How did you do that? I tell you, George, this has been a thrill.
You guys were in on this.
The whole bunch were in on this, George. Let me tell you, you had Tom, you had Steve, you had Lisa, you had Craig, the kitchen, you had Trevor, Oliver, and the whole gang in this building. They love you, George.
This is incredible.
They brought me here in a company jet.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. Private jet all the way here, George.
They've never flown me in the company jet.
They haven't shown you the company yet, have they?
No, not at all.
Well, you don't want to, George. They stopped in Tijuana with me. I mean, it was wonderful. But they did it all for you, George. You know why? Because they knew you were going to be leaving for Christmas.
Yes.
And they wanted to give you a little Christmas early and a surprise they thought you might appreciate.
Yeah,
have your old friend from Detroit come here
gift.
45 years later to see you again.
This is incredible.
You
talk about surprise. What are the odds of coming up with a surprise hotline?
These guys did it, you know what? And I tell you what, I was going to bring something here for them, but the transformation, of course, was just incredible. Just coming here like this, and of course, your audience knows that we just pulled a little trick on you here, that I really didn't transport myself like that.
I've got to tell you, we have such heavy security, and to see you come bolting into the studio kind of shocked the heck out of me.
Well, George, have I changed?
Actually, you look younger.
I don't. Oh, my gosh, no wonder. Well, that must be the new treatment I'm on. But, George, I tell you what, just being here and seeing the studio you guys work out of is really something incredible.
It's a little different than the ice house, isn't it?
Well, I tell you what, that's for sure thing, and I'm sure the rent is a little higher, too. George.
What do you think?
Well, let me put it this way. If I could get everyone listening to this program to get on the same level I am on, and I know this sounds like braggadocio to some people, but, you know, take it as it will. But, friends, I can guarantee you, you can use the mind to do wonderful things. George, you more than anyone know the psychokinesis thing, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, guys, I tell you what, you know the astronaut Edgar Mitchell?
I know him real well. He's been on the program several times.
Oh, really?
Dear friend.
Well, has he talked about this?
Yes, he has.
Well, I'll tell you that. You know,
a wonderful guy.
You know that the mind has unbelievable potential. And I can tell you right now, you know, if you were smart, George, really smart, if you were up in my level, now I'm not putting you down. I'm not putting it down, George, but listen to this. I want these people
not
to hear
many
this.
People are up to your level.
Well, intellectually,
as much as we might try.
Well, intellectually, I've got to say that because I've got to let them know that there's a chance for everyone to get up there with me, friends. You see, when you're at my intellect, you cannot do violent things. When you go back the years, well, we're going back to the hominins. You know what a hominin is, you know?
Yeah.
We're talking about people that lived 18 million years ago. They were throwing rocks at each other. And what are they doing over here in France tonight?
They're still throwing
rocks. George, an intelligent person like myself wouldn't do that. If a mugger came up to me right now and said, fella, I'm going to give it to you in the face, you know what? He couldn't hurt me, George. He could not hurt me. You know why?
Why?
I have mind control, George. I can control his mind. I can stop him in his tracks. Now, George, you're going to witness this. You know I'm in your studio tonight.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to do it. Before we leave, I want you to come up to me and you try to take a punch at me.
I can't take a swing at you. And I know you want me to, and you think you can stop my arm in mid-motion, but...
Well, I could do it, George. You know, it's you have to put yourself in a, well, what we call a precognition mode. What we're doing is we're going into abilities, just like you have telepathy or we have clairvoyance. I have mind control. And once you put this precognition state into your body, which I can do just like snapping a finger, it's amazing what happens, George, with the mind being able to control. It's like putting waves through the air. You won't feel it until you try to hit me. And then you stop. You can't do it. I'm walking up to you right now. Now, look, don't get frightened now. You're my buddy. Nothing's going to happen to me.
Okay.
Nothing's going to happen to me. All right.
I would kick myself for the rest of my life.
I want you to give me the best you've got, George. Okay? Swing back. You ready? One, two, four. Put it right here against the cheek. Go ahead. Go ahead, hit it. Go ahead.
You ready?
Ready. Go ahead.
Oh, gosh.
Well, George. Oh, well, that sheet. I didn't hurt at all. Hand it up. You have a handkerchief?
Unbelievable.
Oh, God. This is embarrassing.
Chopsley? You assured me.
Yeah, well.
This would work.
You know, George, I'm in a different atmosphere around here. This place, you know, you've got black walls, and you've got kind of Craig lights. I mean, why do you have it so moody in here?
I feel so rotten.
Oh, gosh.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. I like my tooth. I only have four teeth, George. I think you loosened one of them.
Well, why did you...
Don't worry about it, George. We're still friends forever. Don't worry about it. I'll fix it, George. Boy. Well, anyway,
every experiment you do,
George,
something goes wrong.
George, I think it's the lighting in here. I honestly believe it is. This is embarrassing, and I know people will fall out of love for me. But I tell you, friends, it has a great deal to do.
I just want to make sure you're okay.
Oh, I'm perfectly fine, George. No, everything's fine.
Not that you have many teeth left anyway.
Everything's fine. No, all four of them are okay. But nonetheless, it's such a surprise to, you know, have the opportunity to try something in front of the whole world here and have a little discrepancy take place.
Millions of listeners.
Oh, listen,
I don't hold your TV show.
Well, I would not hold this against you, George, and I hope people that heard this will just... In fact, you know what? I can make them forget it, George. I have the
time. No more experiments.
No, but I don't want them to remember this tomorrow.
No, they may forget everything, and we don't want that to happen.
May permeate the whole show.
That could be.
It doesn't work all the time. For Nathan Staton, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.